can see from the table being laid out, it is our communion service this morning. So please do join us if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and take communion with us. It's an open table. As we come before God, let's pray together, shall we? Father God, we do thank you for your presence here this morning. And Lord, we thank you that you're all over this town and all over this country. And Lord, that people are worshipping and serving you where they are. And Lord, we do pray for the local churches. Lord, we ask that you would make us a blessing, each to our own community. And Lord, across the world, where there needs to be a real blessing poured out, we pray that where there are two or three Christians, they would bring light into darkness. And Father, we pray that around the globe as we see the darkness and the disaster that is on the news at the moment, Father, we pray that your light would go out, your light would so shine in this world that all men would bend the knee and declare that Jesus is Lord. Amen. I just want to, I haven't given this to the tech team, so apologies for that. We've had lots of things going on, and I just would like to read some words of comfort, and they come from the last part of chapter 5 in James. And the letter, or James's writing, says, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." And that's a real encouragement as we come to the communion table, that we will be forgiven and we can pray and hear the answers to our prayer coming through. We're going to stand and sing a couple of songs, and then we've got a bit of a family activity, if you like. So let's stand and sing to the Lord. "Lord, I come to you." Because even when I don't see it, you're working. Even when I don't feel it, you're working. You never stop. You never stop working. Waymaker, you are here moving in our midst. I can't remember what we're different. Okay.
I worship you.
You might have seen on your chairs that you've got, there is a festival band. And I just thought, we cannot let the young people have all the fun. So they've been to Limitless this week. And I have bought us all a festival band. And we've all got one. And also, about one between ten, scattered around the congregation, there are some Sharpies, or fake Sharpies too, not Sharpies, but permanent marker pens anyway, so don't get them on yourself. And it struck me that as we come to this table, we are family and we come together, and this is like our dining table and we all get round it. And I just wanted us to have something that would enable us to be family in prayer. And so what I want you to do is to look around you and to write someone's name on your band. And that is your commitment to pray for them. So I've the first one out of the box was pink, so I wrote Anna on mine. Oh, here we go. But it's a really good opportunity, if there's someone that you don't know the name of, that you can then go up to them and ask them to sign your band. Okay, so you find out someone's name who you don't know, and then you can pray for that person. If you're not willing to have it on your wrist, I know it's quite sweaty at the moment, keep it flat, pop it in your Bible, and pray for that person like that, if you don't like the texture of it or anything. I'm not offended if you're not wearing them. But there should be a bit that tears off, and then you could have your band on. So now is your 2 to 3 minutes, and I will call you back to order. This is your 2 to 3 minutes to mingle and get someone's name written on your band. So go. Well, I've written on the back. If it's too dark to write on the coloured side, write on the white side. It doesn't matter. We have got a Sharpie somewhere. We had one up here. They're all left. Someone picked our Sharpie. I kept one up here for us. I don't think it works. I kept one up here for us. Has Miles got it? No, it won't. Biro doesn't really work. You'll have to share the pens round. There are some upstairs. Share the pens. There was kind of a pen in every other row. Yeah. There's one. Mona's got one. You've got a pen. I did mine at home. There was one on the platform somewhere. I kept one for us. I can't do it now. It doesn't work without a Sharpie. I don't mind. Hello, hello. It's always dangerous to let people mingle, I know that. Always. Okay, can I call you back to order and to where you were originally sitting then? That would be great. Don't know if I got that or that. Anyway. Okay.
They can't hear you.
No, hello. Hi, I don't know if I've got any sound. Have I got this much? Yes. So, can I call you back to order, please? It's a bit riotous on the top deck there. So, please resume your seats. If you haven't got it done in that time, well, it's something to talk about while you're having your tea and coffee, or if you want to get someone's name that you didn't get in that few minutes, then please do carry that on later, and we will commit to pray for one another. Okay. I just have a few things to do before we do go into communion, and number one would be the birthday box. Has anyone had a birthday in the past few days or in the next few days? Any of the little ones? No, I know Diane Bray's this week coming up, but no little ones. Okay. For those of you who have little ones who are between the age of 0 and 11, there's a big pile of holiday club registration forms at the front here too. Holiday club starts tomorrow. Yay! The leaders are very excited, so the children that come along will be very excited. It's 10 till 12 every day next week, every morning next week, and there will be activities and silliness and snacks to entertain your little ones between 0 and 11. So it's all free as well, so please do sign them up. It just saves you a bit of time on the first morning. So those forms are there. I do have something from Phil too. So Phil is going to be out in the lounge, and he's looking at God's plan, and he says, as a church we are keen to develop personal evangelism, and that a program has been developed to encourage us in doing this. God's plan for mankind. After the service, Phil and Sonia will be in the lounge. Oh, sorry, Sonia. Phil and Sonia will be in the lounge to answer questions on this and to help people to get involved. So it's a really simple way of going through the steps of salvation and coming to faith with people. And Phil will be in the lounge to talk about it afterwards. It's a good tool if you get someone to that point and then you're not very sure where to go. So go and have a chat with Phil and Sonia after the service in the lounge. So this is God's plan and God's message for our whole world as well. Now we are going to come to communion. As I said before, if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are welcome to this table. It's an open family table. It's the dinner table that we're all welcome to. So let us pray, and then we will share communion together as a family. Father, we do thank you for the way in which you bless us. And Lord, we thank you for this massive extended family today. And Lord, we pray for each of the wristbands. Lord, we commit to pray for that person, to get to know them, to find out more about them and where we can help them. And Lord, we commit to pray for all who are gathered here today. Lord, we ask that you would make your face to shine upon them, wherever they are, Lord. And if there be someone here, Lord, who does not yet know you, that you will speak to them through Nathan's message. You are approachable. You love each one. And Lord, we want that message to come through this morning. So now, Father, we come before you to take of bread and wine and to celebrate the gift of salvation. Amen. So let's join in communion together.
Deacons, please join me as we prepare to share communion. Bev has already led us in prayer, so we don't need to pray again. But we thank God for this opportunity to come before the table once more. We've all been invited. How many of you are excited that you're invited to this meal?
Yes.
By the grace of God. Only by grace can we enter. Only by grace can we stand. Amen. On the night that our Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, gathered around a table with his disciples, his friends, he took bread. And after giving thanks, he said to them, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken and given for each of you. This do ye in remembrance of me." Amen. As you are now served what represents the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, please do eat as you receive it and be thankful in your hearts for the salvation that comes through Jesus Christ. Amen. New one. Thank you.
Lord Jesus Christ given for you? What have our Lord Jesus given for you? What have our Lord Jesus given for you? In like manner, he then took the cup, and he said these words, "This cup will now be the new covenant that will be sealed in my blood. This do ye, as often as you drink of it, do it in remembrance of me. For as oft as we eat of the bread and we drink from this cup, we do show forth and proclaim the Lord's death until that wonderful promise that one day the Lord Jesus Christ will make his return." Amen. Church, as you are now served what represents the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed for us on the cross at Calvary, please do retain your cups until everyone has been served, and then we'll drink together as one big family that is sealed through the blood of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Thank you. The old hymn writer puts it this way: there is a fountain that's filled with blood and drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath the flood. And the good news is we can lose all of our guilty stains. Let's drink together the blood of the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. After they had partaken, there they went out to the Mount of Olives and they sang a hymn. And we're going to continue in worship. Before we go any further, we are going to pause at this time to welcome some new members into the fellowship. Come on, you excited about new members? Yes. Amen. Now, one of our deacons let me know that these individuals are here. So if I call their names and they're not here, don't blame me, blame Graham. Okay? I'm only joking. Karina, is Karina here? No? Okay. Jeanette? Yes, coming up, Jan. If you just turn and so they can all see you, turn around so they can face you.
Thank you.
Jan, just stay up the front for a moment, Jan. Michelle? Yes. Bless you, Michelle. Bless you. And Alan West? So these wonderful individuals you see here at the front, they are now official members of Sitting Bourne Baptist Church. So, Michelle, Jack, Alan, Sitting Bourne Baptist Church, Sitting Bourne Baptist Church, Alan, Jan, Michelle. We're so grateful that they are a part of our family. They've already been a part of the family, and I'm sure many of you have already got to know them. If you haven't, please do get to know them better. Speak to them after the service. They're wonderful people, and they want to just use what God has given them to be a blessing to the kingdom of God and to this local community here in Sitting Bourne. And we are committed as a family to supporting them, praying for them, and encouraging them, because we are family.
Yes.
And we are here for you in the good times, but also in those challenging times as well. So on behalf of the members of the church, it is my privilege to give you the right hand of fellowship, Alan. God bless you. God bless you, Jan. God bless you, Michelle. Thank you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're so grateful that our membership is growing, our family is growing. And if you're here and you feel that this church is home for you, then why don't you come on and be a member of the church? Apply for membership. We'll love to review your membership and bring that to the next members meeting. So if you want to know more about becoming a member of SBC, then feel free to speak to me or one of the deacons, speak to Bev. We'll love to share more with you about becoming a member of Sitting Bourne Baptist Church. God bless you all.
Amen. And we are going to release the children now. They've been very, very good and stayed with us for a good long time. But if the children would like to go to their groups now, and we will remain seated and sing, Lord, we long for you to heal our nation. morning, pour out your spirit on this land. And we are going to sing an old hymn now that Nathan's chosen. And it is a song of commitment. And David's going to play it for us on the organ. Sorry? Oh, he's nearly there. Nearly there. It's all right. I don't want to make him fall or anything. That'd not be good. And so before Nathan comes to speak to us, please do stand and we'll sing this song together. He's going to play it through once. David's going to play the tune through once for us. And then there are four verses. So just look at the words for now and try and fit them in. And then we'll sing it, okay? So take it away, David.
To be like Jesus. All I want is to be like Jesus. When I was a kid, all I wanted to be was like John Barnes. Then I got a little bit older, then I wanted to be like Stephen Gerrard. But the older I'm getting, the more understanding that I have, it's not about trying to emulate man or woman. The perfect role model and example is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the way. He is the truth, and he is the life. And I just want to be more and more like Jesus. He is the best example. Amen? Amen. So that hymn that you heard, that old hymn, really sets the tone for our new series. The series is entitled The Jesus Life. Can you say that with me? The Jesus Life. So we're going to be talking about this for the next several weeks, and I pray that this will be a blessing to you. And we're going to be looking each week at different character traits of Jesus, how he modeled himself to his disciples, and how he interacted with people here on earth. And we're going to learn each week from those different character traits from Jesus. And the first character trait that we're going to look at this morning briefly, I'm aware of time, so I'm not going to hold you long, is the character trait of being approachable. Jesus on earth was very, very approachable. And I believe that's a good example for us to follow. So today our text is going to be taken from Matthew chapter 4, and I'm going to read from Matthew chapter 4 from verse number 23. I'm reading from the King James Version today. And it reads like this: "And Jesus went about all of Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease among the people." And verse 24 says, "And his fame went throughout all of Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with diverse diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. And there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee and from Decapolis and from Jerusalem and all of Judea and from beyond the Jordan." We also see in verse 24, also his fame reached Syria as well. So all of these droves of people, Syria, Galilee, Decapolis, from the Jordan, beyond the Jordan, all of these droves of people would come to see Jesus. And Jesus says, "I don't mind you coming to see me. I'm approachable. You can come and see me." So the question today is, am I approachable like Jesus? Are we approachable like Jesus? Father, thank you for your word. And we pray that you would minister to us today. Thank you for each and everyone who is here today. We pray that, Lord, before we leave this place, that you would just fill us with your word now and anoint me afresh as your servant, that I may preach boldly and make known the mystery of your gospel. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Are you approachable like Jesus? Friends, is there anyone here this morning who recently you have tried and you have made some efforts to get in touch with your doctor? Anyone tried to get hold of the doctor recently? What was the process like of trying to get an appointment with your doctor? I don't know about you, but I'm still signed up at the doctors in Rochester. And if I ever need to get hold of them, it can be quite an ordeal. It can be quite a challenge. You have to call very, very early in the morning. You have to get in touch with the receptionist. They're going to ask you a multitude of different questions because they're trying to assess whether you really need an appointment or not. They call it triage. That they want to make sure that before we put you through to that next level of requiring an appointment, we want to make sure that you really need one. Oh, here's another one. Anyone here this morning ever tried to get a meeting or an appointment with the Prime Minister? Anyone? Now, was you successful? If you think the doctors are hard to get an appointment for, then I would be absolutely sure to say that getting an appointment with the Prime Minister would be a whole different ball game. My dad told me years and years ago that the public were actually able to walk down the street. Was my dad correct in that? Yes. And they had to make some changes because of security. So years and years ago, perhaps people could walk down Downing Street. And maybe they probably wouldn't allow you to knock on the door. But at least you could go on the street. But now there's no route available for pedestrians to be able to walk down Downing Street or to get in touch directly with the Prime Minister. You would have to go through a myriad of different avenues. And even when you go through all of those different hurdles, it would be very, very difficult for you and I to get a one-on-one meeting with the Prime Minister. Or maybe not the doctor, maybe not the Prime Minister, but maybe you know someone like me. Someone like my dad, who owns a smartphone, but although he owns one, sometimes getting in touch with him can be quite difficult. Anyone have a dad like me or know someone like my dad? See, it's one thing to own a smartphone, but it's another thing, you have to be able to pick it up, use it for its function. So we all know people, church, that perhaps are a little bit difficult to get in contact with, hard to connect with. Maybe they are not as approachable. And I'm not speaking down on our Prime Minister, because of course it would be very difficult for him to be able to meet with all of the citizens of the United Kingdom. He's got a lot on his plate. But we do perhaps know people that don't have that workload, but yet still sometimes it can be difficult to have that relationship with them. It can be difficult to go beyond the surface level with them. And perhaps we're left feeling they're just not approachable. They're just hard to connect with. But what I love about Jesus Christ, here in Matthew chapter 4, and shortly as we go throughout the Sermon on the Mount over the next subsequent weeks, we're going to see just how approachable Jesus was. But what I love about Matthew chapter 4, Matthew lets us know that the fame of Jesus had reached an all-time high. Droves, multitudes of people throughout Galilee and even Syria, they all knew about this Jesus Christ. And they all traveled from their various regions and they wanted to see Jesus for themselves. They wanted to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And what I love about Christ, although he was famous, although he was God in flesh, although he was the way, the truth, and the life, and he was divine, but yet still, our Lord Jesus Christ was approachable. He did not send the multitudes away. He did not send the crowds and say, I don't have time to deal with you today. I don't have time to talk about your issues. I don't have time to sit down and talk about your concerns. I'm too busy preaching about the kingdom of God. But what I love about Jesus is Jesus was not just concerned about preaching to the crowd, but he was also concerned about the everyday needs and concerns of the people. Despite his fame, despite the crowds, despite being limited on earth by time and space, because Jesus in the flesh could not be everywhere at the same time, but yet still he made time for as many people as he could reach. He made time to meet with all different types of people. He didn't just make time for his chosen 12, for the inner team, and say, I'm just going to invest all of my time in my disciples. But he made time for everyone, for those from Jerusalem, Galilee, from those from the east of the Jordan River, even those from Syria were welcome to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. And even in other occasions in Scripture, we see that Jesus was happy to cross beyond cultural norms and even meet with the Samaritans that had a constant friction and tension with the Jews. In fact, Jesus would even meet with publicans and tax collectors. Jesus would sit down with sinners that even religious leaders would look at him and say, does he know who he's having a meal with? Does he know who he's sitting with? If he's truly the Messiah, then he would know that that's not good company. But yet still, Jesus was so approachable that it did not matter who they were, where they were from, what they had done. Everyone was welcome to meet with Jesus. Sinners were welcome. The sick were welcome. Those that were possessed with demons and devils, they were welcome to meet with Jesus. Why? Because Jesus was approachable. Aren't you glad that we serve a Christ who is approachable to all? That regardless of where you're from, what you have done in this life, everyone is welcome to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. So what does it truly mean to be approachable? Well, the definition of approachable is simply one who is friendly, easy to talk to, and they possess the quality of being accessible and attainable. Approachability, friends, is all about being friendly and open, easy to have a conversation with, making others in your company feel welcomed and also comfortable in your presence. And that's what I love about Jesus. He paints the wonderful model and example for us to follow, that we should not be selective with who we welcome into our presence, and more importantly, into the presence of the local church. We have to be careful, church, that we don't adopt a selective approachability, that we put limits on who is welcome at the table and who is not welcome. Maybe in our own minds, we have the perfect rubric and template of who fits the bill, who meets the criteria, what type of members do we want to have in the church. Maybe those who have a good job and have a good income and they have it all together, and they have a nice family, and they have a nice career. They don't have a criminal record. That might be good on paper, but that is not the model of Christ. Because the model of Christ is, whosoever will, let them come unto me. So the model is, whoever you are, wherever you're from, young, not so young, short, not so short, whether you are big boned, as my mum would like to say, or if you're slight in stature, it does not matter where you fit on the social economic ladder. You are welcome. In fact, you are more than welcome at the table of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we as a church family should always let this community that we are privileged to serve know, and make them, more importantly, make them feel that they are welcome here at any time. You see, it's one thing to say it, but when the people come, do we actually embody the approachability of the Lord Jesus Christ? So, before we delve any deeper into the Sermon in the Mount in subsequent weeks, I believe we have to stop here at this very important point here in Matthew chapter 4 to really dig deeper into the approachability of the Lord Jesus Christ. So number one, briefly, I'm going to leave these points with you. Do we have the capacity to welcome all people like Jesus? Do we have the capacity to welcome not some, but all people like Jesus? You know, yesterday I was, just before I was taking my mum home, we stopped at the range here in town. And we saw on the stand towards the entrance and the exit, we saw some plants that looked in terrible condition. I mean, you know, they just looked terrible to look at. But they were selling them for only £1. They were just trying to get rid of them. And my mum was interested in them, and I was wondering, Mum, why on earth would you want to buy these plants? They look terrible. What are you going to do with them? They're dead. What are you going to do with them? Mum said, son, you don't understand. I said, what don't I understand? She said, you don't understand. You don't have no vision. You're looking at the plants now. But when I take them home and I fix them up a little bit and I give them some nourishment and I give them everything that the plant needs, you may look at the plant now, but come back and look at the plant in some months to come. And you will see that the condition of the plant that you saw in August will look completely different to the plant that you will see in the future. And isn't that like Jesus? You may come across someone that looks a little bit out of shape, spiritually, emotionally. They're all over the place. They've been broken by life. They've had bad relationships. And they're all over the place. They've been hurt. They've been let down. They've been disappointed. They don't look aesthetically that they've got it all together. But all they need is to have an encounter with the Lord Jesus. And one meeting, one encounter with Jesus, and that can cause a transformation to take place in the person's life. So we've got to be careful how we judge the condition, just like I did, of the plant. What are you going to do with that? We've got to have a greater vision, a Christ vision. Because when Christ looks at us, come on, let's be real. When we were lost in our sins, on paper, we didn't have any potential. But Jesus looked beyond our faults and he saw our needs. And he saw that with his help, that you and I would be able to get out of the mess and be found in a state of beauty. That now through Jesus Christ, we can say, I am whole. I am complete. My life is now back on the right track. I don't know who this is for today. Maybe this is not for anyone here, but maybe it's for a loved one. Maybe it's for someone in your family, a child, or someone that has strayed away from God. Don't count them out. One encounter with Jesus, and their life can completely be changed and transformed. Amen. So do we have the capacity to welcome all like Jesus? But number two, here it is. Don't just preach at the people. Help them. And this is something that I had to read and observe through the text that helped me. Yes, the people here in Matthew 4 needed teaching. And we will go on to see the Sermon on the Mount. But Jesus, it says in verse 23 of chapter 4, he went about Galilee teaching in their synagogues. But he didn't just stay in the synagogue teaching and preaching. But when the droves and the multitudes of people came unto him, he didn't just say, well, all I want to do is teach. But he was concerned with the challenges and the obstacles and the frailties of the people. Why? Because in verse 24 it says, they brought unto him sick people. People who were possessed with devils. People that were challenged. And Jesus did not send them away. He didn't just preach at them or Bible bash them. But he was concerned about their everyday needs. And that is a wonderful example for us as the church of the Lord Jesus. It's not enough for us just to preach at people. But we have to also be concerned about their everyday needs. That's why it's so important, ministries like the street pastors, that it's not just about preaching from behind the pulpit, but we will go out into the community and we will be the hands and the feet of Jesus in this town. Ministries like the outreach team, contact center. We are blessed by these wonderful ministries that we can actually touch people's lives and meet them wherever they are at. To let them know that we don't just care about your eternal state, and we do, but we also care about your everyday needs. We see you. If you're hungry and we've got some food, come around the table. We've got some food for you. If you don't have any clothes and you need some support with clothing, then we should be able to step into the need and the gap and say, here's some clothes. We can help you out. If you need some finance, if you're struggling and you're down to the floor, we may not have all the money in the world, but if we can rub some nickels together and just help and assist, then that can go a long way to help someone who is struggling and in need. Amen. So are we concerned not just about preaching and teaching to them, but also helping them in their everyday needs? But third and finally, here's my final point. Not only should we have the capacity to welcome all like Jesus, don't just preach at the people, but also help them in their everyday needs. But third and finally, here it is, resolve to welcome all, love all, but here it is, don't hide the truth. Don't hide the truth. You see, I just told you that it's important for us, if we can see the need and we can help to address the need, the social needs, the practical needs, we should do that. But don't discard the teaching altogether. The two goes hand in hand. Matthew 4, Jesus went about into the synagogues teaching and preaching, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, but he also addressed the human need. So we can't just say we're just interested in addressing the human needs without teaching about the kingdom of God. Because if we do that, then we're no longer a church, we're a social club. We're a charity. Now, that's good, and we need charities. And there are many wonderful charities that help to address people's needs, and we need to do that. But what sets us apart as a church, the reason why we're a church, is because we proclaim and we preach Christ. His death, his burial, and his resurrection. And that message should go out to all. The repentance of sin. Turning from sin and turning to Jesus Christ. Last week was our testimony evening. And I was blessed, one of our deacons, he won't mind me saying this, he can tell me off later if he wants to. Paul, he shared his testimony, and I was so blessed. And he said that he was having a conversation with a man, and he was talking as an elderly man. And he was talking about eternity, about life after death, life after life here on earth. And Paul said he was very direct with the man. And when he shared it, I was like, wow, That's a bit strong, Paul. But he was right. He said to the man, if you don't turn from your sin and turn to Jesus, you will die and go to hell. Now that is a message that is quite strong. And if we're honest, we would, especially in these modern times, we would want to dress it up a little bit, spray some perfume on it, and try and make it a little bit more appetizing. You know, I grew up in a church where they would tell you that message very loud and clear every week. If you don't repent of your sins, if you were to die, if this would be your last day and you don't know Jesus, then you will go to hell. Now, we don't like to say things like that anymore, and I understand it, but the essence of it is true. And Jesus Christ was concerned about the eternal destinies of the people, because he went about preaching the good news of the kingdom, that he had come to give them life and life more abundantly. So yes, the message for the community and the message for the world is all our welcome, and we love you and we care for you and we're concerned about your human needs. We're concerned about your welfare. But our greatest concern, do you know Jesus? Have you embraced faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Can you say, like Paul the Apostle, that if I live, it's Christ, and if I die, it's gain? Because what would it profit a man or a woman to gain the whole wide world and lose their soul. So, here on this first segment of this series, the model is Jesus. He wants us to be approachable to all, to welcome all. Everyone's welcome. But the message has to be loud and it has to be clear. Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. And Jesus is the life. And if you don't have the Son, as John says, then you do not have life. Today is the day of salvation. And if you don't know Jesus for yourself, today would be a wonderful opportunity. God is approachable. You can come to him today. He won't shun you away. He won't bat you away. He says, come to me. Everyone, all who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, we thank you first and foremost that you are an approachable God. That despite of our sins, our transgressions, through your Son Jesus Christ, you are approachable to all and you welcome all. And we thank you that we are here today because you have welcomed us into your presence. And now as we seek to follow that example and to be welcoming to each other, welcoming to this community, welcoming to this world, we pray that you would help us to model Christ, that whoever they are, wherever they're from, whatever they've done in this life, whether they're sick or not sick, whether they have challenges or don't have any challenges, whether they're rich or don't have much money, we pray that as a church we will be welcoming to all. But finally, we would seek to emulate Jesus, that he was concerned not just about their human needs, but also about their spiritual needs. And may the message of Jesus ring loud and clear from this pulpit and in our daily lives, that Jesus saves and Jesus is the only way. He's not just a way with a combination of other alternatives, but Jesus Christ is the way. And we pray that our message will be loud and clear, that everyone who would hear it would hear with conviction and be pricked in their heart to say, men and women, what must I do to be saved? Repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. So we thank you for this time now, and we pray your blessing be upon us as we seek to be approachable, just like Jesus this week. Give us, Lord, some encounters this week that we can be approachable to all. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. The worship team are coming back as we prepare to close. Amen.
Our final song speaks about how we are like those plants in 6 months' time. It says we are ransomed, healed, restored, and forgiven. And having taken the opportunity to get David upstairs on the organ, we are going to stand and sing Praise My Soul, the King of Heaven, together. Ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven.
the glory. Anna's going to come very briefly just to say a vote of thanks to those who attended yesterday.
Good morning.
Yeah. I just wanted to say, oh gosh, yes, really loud now. I just wanted to say a massive thank you to, I don't know if Christine is actually here today. She's not here. Well, I want to say a massive thank you to Christine, I will grab her at some point, for hosting the baby shower yesterday at Diversity House, and anyone that helped out, it was amazing. And if you haven't been to Diversity House Church, please go and see the amazing things that Christine is doing there with the community. It's amazing. And there's, look, they need a sewing instructor as well, just a shout out if you're good at sewing, not something I'm good at. But also I want to say a massive thank you to Bev, who's like our in-house party planner, so if you need baby showers, weddings, anything, so can we just give them a round of applause, because honestly, and it was just really like God-filled, and it was, the games were fun, I'm incredibly competitive, it was just really lovely. But also I just want to say a massive thank you for the gifts, but your prayers have been amazing through this whole process. I'm getting closer to the end, thank goodness, because I'm exhausted. But Nathan and I are so grateful for all your constant prayers as a church. We just feel so much love. So thank you so much for everything that you've been doing, praying in your groups or sending me little messages or checking in on me. I'm sorry if I seem a bit hot and miserable and moody at the moment. I'm just ready for the end. But thank you so much. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much for your prayers. And I know you've been praying for Anna. We need the prayers for Anna and the baby. But also, I need you to pray for me.
It'll be a shock.
I need you to pray for me. Because, you know, on Thursday, Anna made me go onto this online, what do they call it, birth class? Labor and birth class. And I was horrified by this. I was horrified.
Get in there.
So I need your prayers, because some of the things that that lady shared, I must have been sleeping in science class or something, but I don't know why. But yeah, I'm horrified. So please keep me in your prayers. And they're talking about all different types of pain relief. And I said, well, do they have pain relief for the men as well? Please do join us for teas and coffees in the lounge and a chance to talk and connect. Let's be approachable like Jesus. Let's not just rush away if you don't have to. Let's be approachable. Let's share together. We are family. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we thank you for this worship, for this time of sharing and for communion. Thank you so much for Bev and the team for leading us in worship today. And we thank you for these wonderful prayer wristbands, Lord. We pray, Lord, that we would remember to pray for those that we have put down on our wrists throughout the course of this week. Wonderful idea. And we just pray that this will be a real blessing this week. And most of all, we pray that you would give us opportunity this week to be approachable so that we can, Lord, just really come alongside someone who needs that support to let them know that all are welcome to meet with the Lord Jesus Christ. So dismiss us from this place, but never from your presence. And until we meet again, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you all.